We want to welcome you to San Diego Mission Academy, the regular board meeting operated by Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc., a California nonprofit public benefit corporation. It is Tuesday, August 24th, 2021 at 3 o'clock. We're going to go over our procedures. Please place your phone on mute until the time you are presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first. And be sure to speak clearly. Please do not place your phone on hold. If you need to leave the call, please hang up and then dial back into the teleconference. So thank you. So now we're going to go into our logistics. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the market telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comment for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to public comments, sdmissionacademy.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. As required by state law, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school website. So right now, we're going to call the meeting to order and establish a quorum. So we'll do roll call. Cheryl Stanford, present. Claudette Bix, present. Michael Lloyd,
present.
John George,
present.
And Barbara Willebrand,
present.
So we have a quorum. So now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Barbara, can I ask you to do that and everyone else put their phone on mute?
Yes, I will. Place your right hand on your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was lovely. Thank you. So now we're going to go into staff introductions. Corporate officers, Jeff Brown.
Well, thank you, President Stafford. Good afternoon. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
All right. Good to hear from you. Jerry Vincent.
Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
All right. School staff.
Hi, this is Jenna Eunice, Principal.
And this is Jeff
Ogden.
Go ahead, Kevin Ogden.
I'm the liaison to the Charter Authorizer, Warner Unified.
Hi, Kevin.
And then this is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right, school legal counsel.
Good afternoon, Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
Advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting.
Hello, President Stafford and the board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with Lifelong Learning Administration Corp.
Hi, Keith Raja, CEO of Lifelong Learning.
And hi, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel with OLAC.
All right, welcome all of you. Any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? All right, so we've done all that. So now we're going to go to E. And this is approve agenda for the August 24, 21 regular public meeting board of directors. We need to amend this agenda item and move 5C, which is Brian Hadley, to be right in after public comments, because Brian has to catch a plane and he's going to be in the airport. And he thought he'd rather do it where there's not as much noise. So what I need is a motion and a second to amend our agenda and put Brian Hadley at 5C right after public comments.
Mike Molloy makes a motion.
Put it back on second.
All right, so Mike Molloy motions and Claudette Beck seconds. We'll go Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Molloy,
aye.
John George,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So we voted unanimously to amend the agenda, and now we have to vote again to approve the agenda on E, as stated. So I need a motion and a second to approve the amended agenda.
Mike Molloy.
Okay, Mike Molloy?
Yes.
Made a motion. Who is the second?
Barbara Willebrand.
All right, so Mike Molloy has motion. If our rule Brandt is seconded, and we're going to approve the amended agenda. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Michael Loy.
Aye.
John Dortch.
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
So we have approved unanimously to approve the amended agenda. So now we'll move to F. Approved minutes of the June 14th, 2021 regular public meeting of the director. If there's no questions, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1F?
John Dortch, move to approve.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
All right, so John Dortch has moved, Barbara Willebrand has seconded for 1F. So we'll do a vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1F has been approved unanimously. So now we'll go to G, approved minutes of the July 26, 2021. Regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I need a motion and a second.
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
So Claudette Beck's motion, Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1G has been approved unanimously. So now we are on public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must sign in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it's the board's prerogative to hold a discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone from the public on the line who would like to speak? And Shelley, is there anyone who has contacted you?
This is Shelley Sands here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments.
All right, so now we are going to move into three, and we're basically what we're going to do is we will have moved 5C, and we'll start with Brian Hadley.
Thank you, members of the board, for accommodating me on this. I apologize for that, but I really appreciate you doing that. My name is Brian Hadley. I'm a partner at the CPA firm of Wilkinson Hadley King & Company. And we are the CPA firm that prepared the audit for the year ended June 30, 2020 for the school. We have revised the audit report, and the purpose of that revision was just to get additional or to provide additional clarification regarding the relationship between the school and one of the vendors. And that vendor is Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation. The school contracts with LLAC to provide services, and LLAC provides those services, and that is the relationship that we clarified. I want to let the board know that there was no change in the net assets of the school. There was no change in the income of the school, and there was also no change to the auditor's opinion letter that was included in the original audit, and that opinion still remains unqualified, which simply means that the financial statements fairly present the position of the school at June 30, 2020. And so that really concludes my presentation, unless anyone has any additional questions that they would like to ask.
All right, we appreciate that, Brian. Anyone have any questions to ask? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 5C?
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion to approve 5C.
Mike, second.
Okay, so we'll go Claudette Beck motioning and Mike Malloy seconding. All right? So we'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
We have unanimously approved 5C. So thank you, Brian. All right, so now we're in three, school reports and information. We're going to have a principal A, principal update for Spina Dennis.
Thank you, Board President, and hello, good afternoon, everyone. So my name is Jenna Yunus. I'm the principal at San Diego Mission Academy, and I wanted to provide you with an update of the past 30 days or so. So our enrollment for San Diego has maintained stability. We're 159 students strong full-time, and we have about the same number of students who enrolled with us for a summer intercession course, and will be returning to their district of residence. Our AEA and utilization has been in the high 80 percentages for each of the last two LPs, the first two learning periods of our school year. And you may remember that last month, the governor's education trailer bill, AB 130, required us to collect new master agreement addendums with the changes indicated in AB 130, and we did complete that to 99% compliance. We've had two graduates since July 1st, 2021, and that brought our grand total of 33 for the 2021 academic school year. And our graduation cohort typically extends through August 13th for this school year, and that's the deadline to graduate for the 2021 school year. So we are looking forward to planning our fall graduation ceremony for early January, pending the state of the health mandate in the works. So, for counseling, college, and career, we had two resume workshops, one facilitated by our school counselors and one by special education teachers who are providing an alternative option for students to meet their work readiness requirement through the live workshop. Both of those workshops had positive feedback and students left with a completed resume. We also hired a JAG specialist this school year. JAG stands for the Jobs for America's Graduates, and it's a nationwide Department of Labor WIOA program. It was established in 1979, and they're active in almost 40 states. We have 12 governors and many statewide industry leaders who are on JAG's National Board of Directors to support student learning opportunities. So last year, Mission Academy and San Diego Mission Academy were actually part of the first cohort to partner with ClassCraft, which is a gamified platform, and we were able to create avatars and a gamified version of work readiness, essentially, the same types of soft skills that you would see in a WIO or work readiness class. And students engage in online interactive video games to build their academic career, life, and social emotional skills. So last year we had a pilot cohort, and this year we are proceeding with a larger cohort and partnering with LLAC and their J4CG program, which is a JAG affiliate, to build a more robust program. So we're really looking forward to that. Page 28 of your LLAC annual report has more information regarding jobs for California graduates, and I believe that Pete Baraja will be reviewing that resource next. As far as our social emotional updates, we are partnering with a new online to site referral program called Care Solace, S-O-L-A-C-E. Students, staff, and families are able to log into this program and quickly connect to verified mental health and substance use treatment providers in their local community. So San Diego Mission Academy serves a wide range of, students, staff, and families. We work remote, and we serve students in San Diego County and those contiguous communities. So the care is available wherever the staff, student, or family is at, and their concierge service is available 24/7. 365 days a week. The only data that the system logs is that a student or staff member or family member has logged into the system, so there's some privacy there. And there are mental health resources to students and staff at no cost. So we're really looking forward to seeing how that can build resiliency and fit into our trauma-informed care model as we progress through the school year. I do have an update regarding funding. So in June, it seems so long ago, and really it was just a little while ago, and June there was pending legislation that did make us take a look again at our budget for the 21-22 school year, and we were considering taking Title I funds, and we asked for the board's approval in looking into that opportunity. We have decided that at this time, being as small as we are with the whole harmless ADA from last school year and uncertainty regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, that we don't have the capacity at this time to proceed with applying for Title I funds. So I wanted to update the board on that, but we do remain open to the possibility for future years, and we are closely monitoring, other partner programs who are doing applications this year, and also our own finances as, we progress through the year and see what that brings for us. Lastly, I wanted to share a student success story, and really more of a motivational story about how committed our staff and our students are. This was submitted by Ms. Linda. She's our community liaison, so basically the person who connects anyone in our community with our school program. As she wrote, "I was able to connect with Serenity yesterday after Ms. Kathleen asked if I would call. When I introduced myself, she knew she was messing up. She knew she was not doing her work. She knew she needed to log in. I quickly said, 'I'm not calling about that. I just wanted to remind you of how amazing you are.' She said she didn't feel amazing, and she told me some things that were going on in her life that were very real. I told her a story of my own and reminded her that to survive this long, that she was strong and resilient and even, yes, amazing. She said she didn't believe I had called just to tell her those things. But I said, I hope I left her with some food for thought. I encouraged her to program my phone number into her phone, and regardless of the time, if she needed to talk, to call me. I love our teamwork and how we love them up into the humans they're meant to be. Remember, you may not ever see the outcome, but we are always planting seeds that are taking sprouts." So thank you very much. And if there are no further questions, that concludes my board report.
We're all going to cry, right? she's going to give her phone number anytime, day or night. That is wonderful. That is such a hard thing. Wonderful. Any other comments?
All right. Cut it back. I just think it's really good that you reach out to the students like that, because sometimes that's all that a student needs, is that little bit of encouragement, without nagging at them for something else. So I think that's great.
Well, kids just, sometimes it's just listening.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. We're all good talkers, but not good listeners. You're right. That's really good. All right. Well, thank you so much for that, Jenna. That was uplifting. We're going to go to B, Annual Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation Services Report, LLAC. Jenna.
Thank you again. For this, I would like to refer you to Pete Faraja, who will provide some highlights from the annual LLAC Services Report. As you know, SDMA works closely with lifelong learning, and we couldn't do it without them. So without further ado, Pete, I'll let you go ahead and take over.
Thanks, Jenna. Appreciate that. There you go again, making me follow a student story like that. I thought we had this conversation before. Good afternoon, board. Thank you again for the opportunity to provide some time for me to share the summary of the Lifelong Learning Annual Report. Kevin Ogden, it's great to hear your voice. I want to start with you all have the annual report in front of you, and again, that goes into detail about the services, products, and support that lifelong learning provides. In addition, you'll see metrics and data aligned to the overall strategic plan and priorities for lifelong learning, which again, all revolve around how can we do a better job and continue to provide the best services, support, and products, for our partner schools. Today, I'll give you just an overview of some of the divisions, departments, and highlights from the report. One thing I did want to just tack on respond to that Jenna shared earlier. She talked about the addendums and the governor's trailer bill language that required us to get all new master agreements. And you're hearing, 99% and great success. What I don't think has been shared, and all of that had to be done in 2.5 weeks, which was a tremendous accomplishment. You know, we take months when we plan out collecting MAs for a new year, and because of the timing of the governor's trailer bill language, AB 130, those schools had to really, go 100 miles an hour, and they got all that done in 2.5 weeks, which is why this is sort of important to highlight the timing of that, because that hasn't been shared. I'll start with, let me start with finance. Jenna shared some stuff around funding and changes in funding, and our finance department and finance team has done a tremendous job keeping their eye on the ball, pivoting with all the changes that have come out, not only just from the regular state budget, but all the moving parts that came through the last 18 months with the pandemic, a lot of one-time money, again, most of which we weren't eligible for on purpose. They excluded non-classroom-based schools from a lot of that funding, but we were able to receive some of that. And our finance team has done a great job in terms of monitoring that, making sure we're in compliance, making sure all of our partner schools, in collaboration with our schools, are fiscally solvent, not only in the current year, but really having an eye on the out years. And one of the big pieces of that is also cash. And we were hit with some deferrals, which I know Gita will touch on in a little bit, where we weren't receiving our annual apportionment on a regular schedule, which put cash in a position of priority. And the finance team did a tremendous job monitoring cash. And again, making sure we were fiscally solvent and we're continually being able to provide the best services and education to our students and supporting our communities. Next is technology. As you can imagine, when you shift from a model of personalized in-person instruction to more of a distance learning, there was a huge need to ramp up the resources and tools and support from technology, and even with Jenna, making sure we improved on and continued to add to, the instructional technology tools and resources available for our kids. It's not just about the resources, as you can imagine, as more and more kids are working on a technology platform and on devices, the level of support that needed to be ramped up was tremendous, and our technology team did a phenomenal job. I also want to add, throughout the last 18 months, we had a lot of team members at Lifelong Learning step out of their, their regular day-to-day work, maybe because that ramped down. For instance, conferences and travel and event planning. And they stepped in to support people like technology, some of our communication and external affair efforts, and everyone was really team focused, which was impressive to see. And I think is a testament to the culture we're continuing to build at Lifelong Learning and in collaboration with our schools. Charter Affairs and Office of School Governance. Again, taking the lead and managing the logistics of moving from our standard in-person board meetings to the telephonic meetings, and making sure we still maintained, the highest level of transparency, compliance, standards, and monitoring everything that we're changing from some of the mandates coming from Sacramento and the governor. And at the same time, doing a tremendous job with the day-to-day work and responsibilities around, charter petition renewals and material revisions and MOUs and supporting some external audits that we were faced with. Really a team effort and great work by our Charter Affairs and Office of School Governance team. Moving on to our safety and facilities and human resource department, all work super close together to try to manage all of the the mandates, the health ordinances that were constantly changing, make sure we kept our eye on what's best for our students and staff in terms of safety, what's best for our staff in terms of well-being and wellness, as they navigated through all of this change and a new environment with the pandemic. Facilities, doing a ton of work at the sites to make sure it was safe, and our safety department, was constantly monitoring all of the changes, and it's, changes across multiple counties. So very proud of the work of our HR department, our facilities, our safety. And then it kind of tagging out of that are external affairs. And, as they were also involved, paying attention to any daily pandemic updates, we were really focused on all of the anti-charter and targeted anti-charter legislation that we've been faced with over the last 18 months, and several which, although they passed and that seems like it wasn't a success, we were able to get some changes in. And then most recently, again, AB 1316, which was a direct attack on our students, our families, and our communities to provide equity and choice in education. And because of a collaborative and focused effort with our team, with our external community partners, with our school partners, again, I'm happy to share that we were able to defeat that. That was a huge win. We won't rest on our laurels there. I think it shows what a collective effort can do when we all band together and we're prepared and paying close attention to what may come out of the next legislative session. Again, all while navigating the politics with a recall and everything that's going on over the next several months. I want to share that it, as much as this has been a challenging 18 months in my 20 plus years in education, I can say it's the most challenging I've faced, but I think it's been the most rewarding in terms of lessons learned. How can we take advantage of areas we can improve? And one of those was making communication a priority. And with the constant change in messaging, the constant change in mandates and information, we really wanted to make sure we're at the front lines of that, making sure there was consistent and ongoing messaging internally and externally, accurate information being provided. We developed an internal intranet portal called Work From Home that housed all of our resources and information for staff. We're constantly communicating with students and parents and our community partners to make sure they knew what we were doing so they could communicate consistent messages to people they're speaking with. So really, I think our entire communications division has really improved and set up some systems and structures that's going to make us even more successful moving forward. Lastly, in terms of our division of teams, just our education department, which is a machine that really pivoted quickly to deploy and develop new resources for students and staff with instructional videos and, a private YouTube channel, instant messaging and technology platforms for our staff to be able to communicate more directly with students and parents. All while making sure that all align to the importance of one-on-one instruction and personalized learning, opportunities and access to small group instruction, tutoring and counseling, continuing to provide, best-in-class special ed services for our special needs students. And as Jenna shared, being able to be innovative, even through those challenges with programs like Jobs for American Graduates. So really proud of the entire lifelong learning team. It was a huge learning experience for all of us. I think it's made us stronger in a couple things. I just want to share in closing. I truly believe, and I think others will reiterate, the level of collaboration and communication and relationships from lifelong learning in our partner schools and our external community partners have been, I think, greatly strengthened through the last 18 months, which positions us to be even better moving forward, to provide better services for our students, better supports for our staff, better programs for our communities. So I'm really proud of the work over the last 18 months. And then lastly, again, I know I'm here to share about lifelong learning, but I just can't end without sharing how much, you know, Jenna and the regional leadership and the local leadership and staff, they're the ones that pulled all this off on a day-to-day basis and really need to be commended on their commitment and dedication and tireless work as, you know, things changed on sometimes hourly basis. So huge congratulations to Jenna and her staff and her leadership. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pete. We really appreciate that. Any comments from the board members? All right, let's go to finance update and budget overview for the school year. This is Gita.
Thank you, President Stanford. Hello, board. This is Gita with Lifelong Learning Administration Corp. So I'm just going to go over the two updates I'd like to share with the board. One is the financial reporting calendar for fiscal year 21-22. These are just major deadlines, key deadlines that like the board to have for reference purposes. So the calendar starts on page 27 of your board packet, the PDF board packet. So I'll just briefly go over. One was the first one is the deadline of July 1st, which is the beginning of the fiscal year. You'll recall in June board meeting, the budget was approved. The budget prep starts around December, and the area superintendent works with their school staff and then their controller and develop the budget. So that budget was approved based on the projected enrollment of ABA for fiscal year 21-22. With that, also there's the adopted LCAP that was approved in June board meeting. There's a finance component of it, so that is prepared by finance, so there's a deadline for that as well. Then there's the unaudited actual, which I'm going to go over on behalf of the school authority developed, requires board approval. And then there's the audit report, which is the third-party auditor report that is presented by the independent CPA firm to the board. That's due December 15th. We keep hearing that deadline might be extended to January 31st, but it hasn't been officially, we haven't been officially notified. So we keep the same date. At the same time, the first interim report is due, which is the first 4 months of the operations for the school from July through October. That goes to the board in December for approval. And then there's also the ABA report, which reports the T1, the first principal apportionment, which is the key matrix for the determination of the funding for the first principal apportionment. That's due on January 15th. And then there's the second interim report, which has the operations of the school from July to January 31st. That also includes the revision to the preliminary budget that reflects the school annual fiscal plan for the 7 months, and then the projected numbers. So, and then after that is April 15th, which the second P2, the P2 second principal apportionment is reported. That's the matrix for a significant portion of the school funding. And then the last thing is the Form 990, which is the tax return of the corporation. So that deadline is determined by IRS due dates, and that normally is prepared after the audit is prepared. So those are the major key deadlines. Just wanted to bring those to the board's attention, and that could be used as a reference. The second item is just wanted to inform the board that the promissory note that the board approved between LLAC and the school had an interest rate of 4%. That interest rate has been dropped to 3.25%. So that's the good news because that is used for any short-term borrowing and it reduced the cost to the school, if any. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. Any discussion or questions from the board? All right, so then we'll move down to D, annual board training announcement. This is Jenna.
Thank you very much. This is Jenna Eunice again. So the annual training for charter school board members and leaders on the Brown Act and conflict of interest laws is an extensive training to ensure compliance with our chartering authority's requirement that we train the board and school leaders annually. It will be presented by the Young, Mini, and Core legal team, and we will have a few date and time options for the board to choose to attend at their convenience. The topics covered will include compliance with SB 126, now Education Code Section 47604.1, virtual conferencing tips during the pandemic, conflict of interest laws, Political Reform Act, Corporations Code, Government Code Section 1090, and the appearance of impropriety, as well as what you need to know in filling out the Form 700 each year. So look for that those training dates coming your way, and we will make sure that we are in compliance. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Jenna. We're now going to our public hearing. Okay, for here. All right. We're going to ask for a motion and a second to open our public hearing.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Mike Malloy, second.
So, Claudette Beck has motioned and Mike Malloy has second. We'll vote. Carol Stafford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So, we have a unanimous vote that we are going to open our public hearing. So the public hearing is now open at 3:37. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time with a majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation on revised budget overview for parents from the 2021-22 school year from Jenna, area superintendent.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Board President. This is Jenna Eunice. So as a reminder, the budget overview for parents demonstrates to the public and parents that the school directed its funds toward increasing or improving services and meeting the needs of our school community, while also directing funds to high-need students, those low-income students, English learners, foster youth, and homeless students. The budget overview for parents includes information on the local control funding formula, LCFF revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, state funds, and federal coronavirus aid relief and economic security act funds, the CARES Act. The 21-22 budget overview for parents was approved by the board during the June board meeting following a public hearing. However, due to the error of including both non-contributing and contributing expenses from the 2021 Learning Continuity Plan in the calculation of the expenditures of increased or improved services for high-need students in the 2021 budget overview for parents, we needed to include an updated narrative, which I will share with you, and then I will be seeking board approval on this revision. So this budget overview for parents can be found in your board packet, I believe, starting on page 30. And the updated narrative includes the following. Our independent study program implements a personalized learning experience for all students, including English learners, low-income, foster youth, and special education students that is carefully designed to address the unique academic and social-emotional needs. To serve our at-promise and highly mobile population, expenditures are budgeted for, but not limited to, teacher and staff salaries and benefits, student interventions, curriculum development, professional development, materials, hardware, and software. And not included in the LCAP are the following: audit fees and legal expenses. There are also revised changes to the budget overview for parents that are found on the last chart, titled Update on Increased or Improved Services for High Need Students in 2021. So there will be a change to the dollar amount for the bullet titled Total Budgeted Expenditures for High Need Students in the Learning Continuity Plan. The previous amount was $293,800, and the revised amount is $268,800. Per instructions from the CBE, the revised amount excludes the non-contributing expenses as found on the Learning Continuity Plan. Lastly, there is a change to the dollar amount for the bullet titled Actual Expenditures for High Need Students in the Learning Continuity Plan. The previous amount was $294,628, and the revised amount is $270,840. And again, per instructions from the CDE, this revised amount excludes the non-contributing funds or expenses as found on the LCP. So if this revised budget overview for parents is approved by the board, it will be sent to the appropriate agencies as required and also posted on our charter website. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And that concludes my presentation for the public hearing.
Any comments or questions? All right, the board will now solicit recommendations and comment from members of the public on revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-22 school year. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment? Are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board? This is for Shelley.
Hi, this is Shelley Sams reporting that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment.
All right, so now I'd like to request a motion and a second to close the public hearing.
That depends on John Burris, I'll make the public hearing.
John Burris, okay, so I'll second the motion.
Good. All right, so we're going to go with Claudette Beck motioning, John Dorch seconding, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So after a roll call vote, it is a unanimous vote that we close the public hearing. And this public hearing is closed at 3:42. All right. So now we're into, let's see here. Hold on just a second. We're now into five action items. The board will be asked to review and approve the revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-22 school year. And this is Jenna.
Thank you very much. So after hearing my presentation during the previous public hearing, if there are no further questions, I would like to ask the board to approve the revised budget overview for parents for the 21-22 school year. Thank you.
All right, are there any comments or questions? All right, so I need a motion and a second to approve the revised budget overview.
Mike Malloy,
motion. So we've got Mike Malloy motioning.
Barbara Willebrand second.
Okay. So Mike Malloy has motioned. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right. So it's unanimous vote that 5A. Been approved. So now we're on 5B. The board will be asked to approve the unaudited actuals for the 2020-21 school year. And this is Gita.
Thank you, board. This is Gita with LLAC. So I'll go through the unaudited actuals. If you refer to page 36 of your PDF packet, you'll see the actual Form 62, CDE Form 62 for unaudited actuals. This report is the last financial report of the year that provides summary of how the school performed financially through the fiscal year 2021. The report also includes summary of statement of revenue and expenditures and the net position of the school. The report also includes information about school's assets and liabilities on pages 3 and 4 on Form 62. The information also includes on the average daily attendance that was the base for the funding for fiscal year 2021. The estimated ADA projection for the fiscal year 21-22 was used as a basis for developing current year's budget. In fiscal year 2021, the school had a funding P2 ADA of 108. This funding ADA provided a final year end total revenue of $1.5 million. This revenue was $62,000 higher than the projected revenue presented at the board meeting of June. This difference is primarily due to recognition of $57,000 of revenue from expanded learning opportunity grant, the state portion that was originally planned to be recorded in the following fiscal year. That's included, if you look at line A3, if you can see it there. These restricted funds were not spent in fiscal year 2021. However, CDE guidelines require that the school record the revenue in fiscal year 2021. This will cause an increase of equal amount in excess of revenue over expenditures in fiscal year 2021. The increase in total revenue was also caused by a small increase in revenue from lottery funds. On the expenditure side, the school ended the year with a total expenditure of $1,410,236. This is the same level of expenditures compared to prior projections. Even though total expenditures remained at the same level, there were small variations on spending categories. This included small increase in certificated salaries, communication and professional services, and small decrease of spending in school supplies and equipment. Overall, the school had an excess revenue of $102,000, which is $62,000 higher than previously projected. The increase comes primarily from recording the unspent state portion of the expanded learning opportunity revenue, as we discussed before, which is restricted. With this excess revenue, the school ended up fiscal year 2021 with a reserve of -$343,000. Of this fund balance, $57,000 is restricted and comes from unspent ELO funds. These funds will be spent and is planned to be spent in fiscal year 21-22. As we have mentioned in previous meetings, during fiscal year 2021, and the school funding was limited due to ADA hold harmless, which prevented the school from getting funded based on school growth. That prevented the school from improving this negative net position. In fiscal year 21-22, the school will be funded based on its growing enrollment. And with the growth of enrollment and funding and management of staffing, the school will progressively build a healthy school reserve. As I mentioned before, the unaudited actuals also report a balance sheet information, and it shows school year school year end assets and liabilities. Those are on pages 3 and 4 of the report. This year, there are items that are unusual in our report. In the assets section, the school shows an unusually large amount of $654,000 in accounts receivable. That's line G3. This is due to deferral of the state principal apportionment for the months of February through June. These deferrals were originally going to be paid between July and November of 2021. However, with the revision to the state budget, all deferrals are being paid on an accelerated schedule by the end of month of August. This is great news to the school cash flow planning, and it will reduce or eliminate the need to borrow during these coming months, which will reduce the debt service cost to the school. You will also see another unusual item in the liabilities section of the report. That's line I-4. This amount is $1,025,063, and is composed by short-term borrowing from school's line of credit and PPP loan for $280,000 that the school received in May of 2020. that is recorded as of June 30th as a liability. This year, fiscal year 21-22, the school submitted application for loan forgiveness, and SBA approved the school's application on August 19, just a few days ago. Consequently, the school will recognize the amount forgiven as revenue for the fiscal year 21-22 and will report this revenue in future interim reports. I also wanted to add that this form is Form 62, it's a CVE form, and we're having a hard time due to a CVE glitch to upload this into the tax form. Due to that, we might have to use an alternative form to report to the authorizer. The numbers and all the information in the report will remain the same. It's just that by the deadline, if we can't get that glitch fixed, then we have to use the alternative form. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, please, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. That was always interesting and informative. Thank you so much for it. Any comments or questions from the board members? All right. Can I have a motion and a second to approve 5B?
Barbara Wilburn will move. Claudia Beck second.
All right. So Barbara Wilburn has moved. Claudia Beck has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Sanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5B has been approved unanimously. So we've already done 5C and reported out that that was approved unanimously. So now we're on 5D. The board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual, and that's Gita.
Thank you. So the charter manual is regularly updated according to the rules and regulations and the guidelines. So there are two sections of the accounting manual that is recommended for the school to adopt is two sections. One is the donation process and one is the contract approval process. So LLAC has a procurement process, a policy that follows to support the school. And part of that, we just want to make sure that the school manual also knows all of those internal control processes. So during pandemic, the school received some donations or will be receiving donations. And if the donations are through check or cash, they must be deposited into the school bank account. And once they're deposited into the school bank account, they're considered public funds. And the school has to abide by the guidelines of how to spend the public funds by those guidelines. So we just wanted to make sure that this is recorded and documented in the accounting manual, and the staff at the school level have already communicated this. The area superintendent has communicated this to everyone, but we just inserted that. It's in the red line, and all the changes start on page 89 of your PDF. The second bullet point is the contract approval process, and that again is just to tighten the internal controls processes. So LLAC again has a procurement process, and then we put a summary of the limitation for getting fit, doing a request for proposal, all of that guidelines that comes with having state and federal funds. So we just wanted to make sure it's documented in the annual, in the manual, and the school follows that process. So those are the two sections that are added, and the school follows the guidelines. So we just wanted to make sure that it's inserted in the accounting manual and it's recommended for the school to adopt. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
It's really nice that the people donate to our school. I really do appreciate that, especially during these crazy times. All right, well, thank you for that. Any comments from the board? If not, can I get a motion and a second to approve D?
Mike, will I make that motion?
Second. Dorsch seconds that motion.
Got it. Mike Malloy motion, John Dorsch seconded. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorsch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So D has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 5E. The board will be asked to approve an increase to the Hamney Bank line of credit for the 2021-22 school year. And that's Gita.
Thank you. This is Gita with NNAC. So this is a Hamney First Amendment to the revolving line of credit document. So the California Department of Education pays growing schools in a delayed fashion because ABA is captured during the year with P1 reported in January and then P2 reported in April. The state has to make the first 7 monthly payments based on the prior year's ABA, so all the schools, and then make the catch-up payments the remainder of the year, causing schools with a large ABA growth to be underfunded during the entire school year from cash perspective. The school year, this school year, San Diego Mission Academy is expected to grow from 108.94, almost 104 ABA during fiscal year 2021 to original budget ABA of 171.59 during fiscal year 21-22. Because of this delay in payment, we request the board approval to increase the borrowing limit to $1.5 million from the entire school year through July 1st, 2021, for the entire school year from July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. And the agreement is attached in the document. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Gita. Any questions or comments from the board members? If not, can I get a motion and a second to approve 5E?
Barbara Willebrand move. Claudette Beck second.
Thank you, ladies. Barbara Willebrand move. Claudette Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, press aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorsch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5E has been approved unanimously. So we're now on 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to thank Jenna Yunus, as usual, for her good report. And also, I'd like to, what I really want to say is, I want to honor her for our comprehensive program to provide future opportunities for these young people. It's strong, it's good, including the new JAG program. Well, it's not new, but that program is exciting. It does provide opportunities, and then along with the group of cohorts that she's put together. I think that's wonderful. Congratulations, Jenna. The CARE programs. Addressing mental health during this particular depressing and stressful time is another wonderful program. So congratulations, and I want to thank the Lifelong Learning Group, the CEO, our executive presidents and vice presidents, and everyone else that's involved in that program. It's really continually provides us with all the information we need and the support we need. Thank you so much. Back to you, Madam President.
All right, Sherry Dixon.
Thank you, Madam President. Mr. Brown has voiced a comprehensive appreciation for all of the, for Jenna, for your work and for the work in the program, and also to you board members for your staunch commitment to the integrity of the school and the student focus. So I just wish to tag on to Mr. Brown's statement of gratitude and just say thank you.
All right. This is Cheryl Stanford, President. I just like to say
Jenna, I love the stories about your students. It just connects us to it so much. And I love it when they're in person, too. So we really do appreciate that. I can't wait till we do meet in person so we can actually see some of these kids. That would be great. Any other board members have comments?
Beck, I just wanted to say thanks to Jenna also because, you know, all these things are so important and all the supervisors and everything are just tremendous. I mean, they work so hard and everyone does. I mean, it's such a teamwork. It's great. I appreciate it all.
Barbara?
Yes, you concur?
I agree with everyone what was said.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. We're going to go to Kevin. Closing item. Next regular board meeting is October 12, 2021 at 2:30. And we're also going to go to B, where we adjourn the meeting. So I'd like a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Carter Beck,
I'll second. All right, so Michael Malloy has motion, Carter Beck seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Carter Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's unanimous that we adjourn this meeting.